Let us pray together. Gracious God, every generous act we embody comes from the grace you bestow upon us. So give us ears now to hear your word, and then give us the faith to live it out. Dear God, let some word that is heard be yours. Amen. The book of James is an interesting little bit of scripture. Since we're going to be spending a few weeks here, I want to say a bit about it before we dive into today's passage. Now, there's a lot we don't know about this letter. We don't know exactly who James was or when it was written, but we do know that it's addressed to Greek-speaking Jewish Christians in what's called the diaspora or the dispersion. It's a general term that applies to Jews who have moved outside the boundaries of Israel. Some New Testament scholars believe that James was the first bishop of the church in Jerusalem, so it would make sense for him to communicate with believers scattered abroad. As I said, we don't know when it was written, but most scholars assign a date sometime between 65 and 85 AD. That would have been just a decade or two after Paul wrote his letters, which, as you know, place a heavy emphasis on faith. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. We live by faith, not by sight. By grace you have been saved through faith, not because of works. Now, Paul is absolutely clear that faith should express itself in moral conduct, but it's possible that Christians misunderstood Paul and thought all they had to do was believe the right things, and they could live any old way they pleased. In other words, Christians are behaving badly, and James says, don't call yourselves Christians if you're not going to act. Stop me if any of this is sounding familiar. Acting hypocritically does no one any favors. We're only fooling ourselves. It's a good message for all of us, even if we're behaving well. One question is at the heart of it all. Unless your faith makes a difference in how you live, what's the point? Let us turn now to the reading of the word from James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's been a long time since I've preached on the book of James, but you may remember having heard that Martin Luther himself believed this book should never have been included in the Bible in the first place. He called it an epistle of straw and said it had nothing of the nature of the gospel about it. Now, maybe that's because the name of Jesus only appears twice in the entire five chapters. But maybe it's because the style is so different from most New Testament letters. James sounds like a letter written by someone who spent a lifetime reading Proverbs instead of Romans, someone schooled in contemplation rather than debate. It's a Hebrew approach to writing and thought. The author suggests a theme, meditates on it for a while, and then moves on to another theme. It's like throwing rocks into a pond. You throw one rock and you hear the plunk as it hits the water, and then watch the ripples radiate out in concentric circles. You throw another rock in a different place, and then another, and then another. And maybe you like the sound of that second rock, so you go back and throw another stone in that same place. And occasionally, the ripples intersect. Now, the Greek mind, which is linear and logical and rational, hates this style of writing. It feels boring and repetitious. It seems as if we keep hearing the same thing over and over, like we're not getting anywhere. But the Jewish mind loves it. This is the Old Testament wisdom tradition, meditating on the great themes, which are never simple and are rarely logical, but which often intersect one another and which always need to be heard. Today's short scripture passage suggests another rock to toss into the pond. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, unless your faith makes a difference in how you live, what's the point? Last Sunday, we finished up a six-week adult forum on white privilege. It's part of a year-long emphasis that the Adult Education Committee is providing on overcoming systemic racism. There was so much good information, but the thing I appreciated most was that each week, the leaders left us with a challenge, something to do in the next 7 days to begin to break down barriers in our society, or even barriers in our own minds. What are you going to do with your faith? Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Hearing for us is not the problem. Presbyterian worship is almost obsessively verbal. We hear all the right things. Presbyterians have always been strong advocates for education, both for the clergy and the laity. We're theologians and writers and thinkers. We hear all the right thing. We know the truth. And yet here in James, we're told that neither hearing nor knowing is nearly as important as doing. Jesus never asks his hearers, "Do you agree with me?" Or, "Does this sound reasonable to you?" Jesus is looking for more than mental assent. What Jesus says is follow me. What Jesus says is go and do likewise. He wants disciples, not just nodding heads. I think you probably know that Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers to most of us, was a Presbyterian minister and a graduate of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary. He never served a congregation. He was ordained to the ministry of children's television. Even then, in the earliest days of television, he saw its power and he hated what was being fed to children. He had a vision of giving children messages to help them thrive, not simply entertaining them or even educating them, but equipping them for the real world outside or even inside their doors. And he did it with honesty and gentleness and love. Everything Mr. Rogers did was grounded in his faith. He never preached or quoted scripture. But scripture and faith informed everything. His prayer before every show was, "Dear God, let some word that is heard be yours. Let some word that is heard be yours." One of Fred's professors at Pittsburgh Seminary was a man named William Orr. Bill Orr used to say that faith is always embodied. Fred Rogers took that to heart, and he embodied his faith on his show. He wasn't afraid to talk about hard things, even with kids, In the political heat of the 60s and 70s, he knew that television exposed children to Vietnam, assassinations, the threat of the Cold War, the civil rights movement, the feminist movement, the sexual revelation, the demonstrations, all of it with all its intensity. And he knew that it could be frightening and hard. Television was bringing it into their living rooms, and he felt he couldn't ignore it. But he was so careful. He never wanted to alienate people who were already divided. He didn't want to shut anyone out or shut anyone off. One image stands out in particular. Officer Clemens, the policeman on the show, was played by Francois Clemens, a touring opera singer. Fred Rogers met him when he sang at his church. Fred invited him to be a part of his show and to play the role of a police officer. This was the height of the civil rights movement, and Francois Clemens is a Black man. It was not an easy thing to say yes to. "I grew up in a ghetto," Clemens says. "I did not have a positive opinion of police officers. Police officers were sicking dogs and turning water hoses on people. I had a hard time putting myself in that role." But he did it. He played Officer Clemens, and it changed minds, his as much as any other's. Then a few months later came episode 106.5. It opens the way, every show does, the little song and Mr. Rogers asking, "Won't you be my neighbor?" But this time, instead of putting on his cardigan sweater, he talks about what a hot day it is and how nice it would feel to put his feet in a pool of cool water. Here's how one writer describes what happens. He moves to his front yard where he fills a small plastic pool with water and begins to soak his feet. Soon, Officer Clemens drops by for a visit, and Mr. Rogers invites him to share the pool with him. Clemens quickly accepts, rolls up the pant legs of his uniform, and places his very brown feet in the same water as Mr. Rogers' very white feet. The camera holds the shot for several seconds. So innocent, and yet so powerful. Especially in an era of segregated swimming pools where Black people were sometimes attacked if they tried to swim in the wrong place. Where one hotel owner poured muriatic acid into the pool when Blacks and whites were swimming together. Where, even as I was growing up, I was cautioned by adults outside my family not to touch Black people because their skin color might rub off on mine. Fred Rogers said, "Won't you be my neighbor?" And that meant everyone, all the time. Because Mr. Rogers believed that that's what Jesus meant. Faith is always embodied. Amen.